Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship will be held Friday through Sunday at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison, Wisconsin. Tyler Hubbard, Maddie and Tay, and Drake White will highlight activities away from the golf course with a concert at Bree Stevens Field on Friday, June the 9th. That same day, tournament host Steve Stricker and the top golfers on the PGA Tour Champions will tee it up in the opening round of the 7th AmFam Championship. Tickets for those events are now on sale at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for charity with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. We are traveling men this week. Gary just back from a junket in Pennsylvania. I'm just arriving in Sheboygan from a weekend of golf in far northwest Wisconsin. I don't know about your weather, Gary, but ours was ideal up in the Northwoods. A few mosquitoes, no doubt about it, but I played Hidden Greens North for the first time yesterday in Solon Springs, and a return trip to Black Bear Golf Club in Minog today. And I tell you what, it's going to take some getting used to all these tree-lined fairways that we have here in Wisconsin after another year of playing most of my golf in the scattered palm trees of Arizona.
Yeah, palm trees, a few cacti, and some boulders. That's what you have to deal with. That's a little different up here, Rob, as you well know.
That's right. And your week was good out. It was the ING conference, right?
Yeah, I went to a four-day conference in Philadelphia. It was a great networking experience to meet other golf writers and travel writers that I really don't know that well. Played two rounds of golf, and then we had some business seminars and some product demonstrations. The guys from Caliber Golf, the Wright brothers, Tim and Chip, were there with their hockey stick putter, putting on a demonstration. Yeah, it was a good week. We had fun, and I got a lot done.
Well, we've got the fun and games behind us because it's going to be nothing but golf, at least for the next 12 days between the two of us, and then some. And with starting first with the WIA State Championships tomorrow at Black Wolf Run and Kohler, Jim Kelch and I will be there with photos and tweets and story coverage from there. And then we've got the state women's match play. We've got the U.S. Junior qualifying on Thursday. And, of course, the AmFam Championship Friday through Sunday, which is where Gary D'Amato will be starting, I believe, late Tuesday, early Wednesday. My scheduled memory is foggy on when you're actually going to get to University Ridge Golf Course, Gary.
Yeah, I'm going to drive over there early Wednesday morning, Rob, and catch whatever interview. Use whatever guys they bring into the interview room on Wednesday, and maybe do some going out looking for stories or one-on-one opportunities myself. And then, you know, Thursday, more advanced stuff. Friday, you're joining me, right?
I am, yes. Yep. So we're going to see Izzy Stricker's in the field for that U.S. Junior Girls qualifying over at Washington County Golf Course in Heartland. And I think the boys might play in the morning, girls in the afternoon. And, you know, last year when we did that at Blackhawk, I was just struck at how many, you know, all the big names. This is kind of where, you know, with the high school state championship behind us, this is where the juniors get going. So I wasn't sure if I'd, you know, go right to U Ridge on Thursday, but I think we need someone over there. And then I'll jump right in once the first tee is put in the ground just before noon on Friday for the first round of the AmFam Championship. And Gary, we're sounding like a broken record here, but it's going to be an exciting month for senior tour golf. A week ago, we were talking about Steve Stricker's win in the latest major, the senior PGA Championship with Izzy on the bag. This week, we're talking about Jerry Kelly and Steve Stricker finishing T2 to Stephen Ames. And I didn't get a chance to watch any of it. So tell me, what happened? Did our guys have a chance to win, or was Stephen Ames just uncatchable?
No, they both had both Jerry and Steve had a chance. Rob, Steve fell behind by two shots playing with Ames in the final threesome with Tim Heron. Steve fell behind by two shots. They were co-leaders going into the round, but Steve birdied number 13 to put within one, and then Ames three-putted the green on number 14, and they were even then. Steve had great birdie chances on 14 and 15, or 15 and 16, both under 10 feet, Rob. He missed both, neither putt touched the hole, which is uncharacteristic. He pulled the first putt, pushed the second. So they go to 17, still tied. Ames makes a birdie. So he goes up one, and then on the final hole, Steve again had it about 12 feet above the hole for a chance to tie and send it to a playoff, and missed it, and didn't really come close in that putt either. So a little uncharacteristic of Steve to miss three, you know, makeable birdie putts down the stretch. Jerry played earlier in the day and had a great round, bogey-free, 8-under, I think, 7-under, 8-under. And he had a chance on 18 too, about a 15-foot birdie that almost went in, which would have forced the playoff eventually with Ames. So it was a wild final round, Rob. Lots of stuff going on. But in the end, you know, Jerry and Steve fall a stroke short of Stephen Ames, who wins for the third time this year.
But yet, on the eve of the AmFam Championship, I mean, this is, I think, some exciting stuff. Stephen Ames will be in the field here this week for the AmFam Championship, among many. And of course, you know, Jerry Kelly, a two-time champion at University Ridge, Steve Stricker, who has won everything but the AmFam Championship. As we look ahead to what's in front of us, how do you even begin to think about, you know, the potential storylines that we're going to see once the action starts on Friday?
Yeah, you know, Ames is hot. Steve is unbelievably hot, although I'm sure he's disappointed that he didn't finish the deal today and make those makeable birdie putts. Still tied for second, 14 consecutive top 10 finishes dating to last August, Rob. And only once in that streak has he finished out of the top five. Just an incredible run. 52 consecutive rounds of par or better, which is, he keeps extending his Champions Tour record. And now Jerry's getting hot at the right time. You know, tied for second today and moved up to 10th in the Schwab Cup standing. So it's going to be a wild week at U Ridge.
As you look at the field was announced on Friday, what surprises did you see among who's there, who's not there?
Not too many surprises, really. It's a strong field. It always is for the AmFam. You know, Stephen Alker, who didn't play last year, is in the field this year. I think he caught a little heat for skipping Steve's tournament last year from some of the guys on the tour. But he's been, you know, very formidable, as everyone knows, the last couple of years. You know, a bunch of former U.S. Bank Championship / GMO winners. I think there's five of them in the field. And then all the big names, Ernie Els, Retief Goosen, they're all coming back. Fred Couples, who won the tournament a few years ago. So no big surprises. It's just a really strong field again.
I think the only name that I was surprised wasn't there is Bernhard Langer. He plays almost everywhere. I'm not sure, you know, exactly. It could be a conflict. He's got, you know, kids and grandkids now that are of all ages, and I think even he said that at some point here he's going to scale it back, and that's on the one hand. On the other hand, he hasn't exactly played lights out at U Ridge, so that may be another thing. Justin Leonard making his AmFam debut, and he's starting to play better. I'm looking forward to seeing what Justin Leonard can do at University Ridge.
Me too. I don't think, you know, he hasn't played a lot. Obviously, he hasn't played a lot on any tour. You know, for several years now, he's been in the broadcast booth. He's been on Golf Channel. But I have a feeling he's really been working hard on his game. And, you know, we'll see the Justin Leonard of old. I think he'll resurface here one of these days. And he could go on one of those tears that those 50-year-old guys seem to go on.
You mentioned the guys who either won the AmFam or the U.S. Bank Championship, the Greater Milwaukee Open, or guys who were loyal to the tournament. And one of those that comes to mind is Mark Kelkovecchia. The guy hasn't played until this last weekend in almost 2 years, according to what I saw on his record from earlier last week when we were looking at potential story ideas. And then when I checked out the leaderboard at the Principal Charity Classic this week in Des Moines in that first round, he was at the top of the leaderboard and obviously didn't stay there. But, you know, wouldn't that be great to see Kelk get back to form? I'm just surprised that he's able to come out and shoot that kind of round, his first round out after a long absence.
Yeah, I know he's had some injury problems. I know he's had some problems with his feet. I'm not sure what else has ailed him. But, it was he was really loyal to Milwaukee. I think wasn't his wife from Kenosha, if I remember
right.
Correctly?
Yep.
So we always came back to the GMO. We always saw him around Milwaukee at Brown Deer Park. And, yeah, it'll be good to see him at U Ridge.
defending champion Thong Jaidi back in the field this year. And among the former champions, I guess the guy that really stands out to me, Gary, because in the events that I covered of his out in the West Coast, Fred Couples continues to play well. And he's had a little bit of a break. I'm guessing that there might be some back issues. I think he's also waiting for better weather. He's going to get it if it stays as hot and humid as it was up in northern Wisconsin this weekend for the AmFam Championship. But, you know, that's a guy who, to me, is just ageless and effortless in what he does. And you know, between him and John Daly, I mean, those are two non-Wisconsin golfers that I think are going to draw pretty good galleries.
Yeah, you know, Freddie, remember last year, Rob, when we interviewed Freddie before the start of the tournament on the range, and he said he wanted to win one more time on the Champions Tour, and when he won, he was going to retire. And we pressed him and said, you're going to walk away from the game? And he said, yeah, I want one more win, and when I win, that's it. Well, he won again, Rob, and he's still playing. So
I know.
I'm not going to say he went back on his word, but he went back on his word. But I'm glad he did, because it's always fun to watch him play golf.
So are we going to do conspiracy theory here in looking into our crystal ball? He's hanging around because he wants to play with his buddy Tiger, doesn't he, in a couple years?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we've written about that and talked about that when Tiger turns 50, whether or not he'll show up in Madison. I think he will if his health permits him to. But yeah, it's going to be a fun week with Freddie and all the guys coming into town. And we'll get to cover it together on Friday, Saturday, and then I leave Sunday for the U.S. Open. And I'm gonna leave you with all the work on Sunday, Rob. Sorry about that.
Well, it's going to be fine. I mean, I think from your perspective, I mean, you're gonna do all the heavy lifting at the early part of the week and not just be there for the dessert at the end, because those final rounds are always exciting. And you know, I mean, I'll be really, honestly, Gary, I'll be heartbroken if Steve Stricker wins and you're not there, because you've written a lot of great stuff about him in the last 2 years, and that would be a heartbreaker, but a good heartbreaker situation to have. I know you'll have a great time out in L.A. checking out the early part of the week there with the U.S. Open, and then we get a little bit of a break towards the back end. I was just going over this with my wife because she's flying into town for a camping trip, and so after after the AmFam, it's the State Women's Open, and then I'll fly up to Wisconsin Rapids to check out Lake Arrowhead, final day of the State Match Play Championship, and then a little bit of a break over Father's Day weekend. Nobody wants to compete with the U.S. Open, but this is fun. Right. I mean, between playing golf and now getting a chance to cover it, it's going to be a great deal, and it all starts with the AmFam Championship at the start of the tournament coverage professionally, and then the U.S. Senior Open at the back end, and you know, I think most of the qualifying is pretty much in the books for that. Not too many other surprises, but unfortunately not a whole lot of other, Wisconsin people other than the ones that qualified that we talked about last week up at Stevens Point Country Club. So there's going to be no shortage of fun and excitement here over the next few weeks. Anything else about the AmFam Championship, Gary, before we move on to other topics that you see? I think the other thing I wanted to get to also is to mention that Skip Kendall will be making his season debut, as he does most years now that he's has lost status on the senior circuit. But let's not forget, Skip Kendall came within a shot or two of qualifying for the U.S. Open final qualifying. That's the U.S. Open, not the U.S. Senior Open. He actually fared better in the U.S. Open local qualifying than he did the U.S. Senior Open final qualifying. But it'll be fun to see Skip again.
It will be, yeah. And Mario Fiziani also received an exemption to play. Mario's had a nice year on Champions Tour, so we've got four guys with state ties in the field. Should be a lot of fun. And then one more note on the U.S. Senior Open, Rob. I had a pretty extensive phone interview with Mark Rolfing the other day. Mark was up at the behest of Pete McPartland, the Century Insurance CEO, He wants Mark to get a great, scouting report on Century World, because so many people, you know, a lot of people know so little about Century World, so that Mark is prepared when he does his broadcast work. And, Mark Rolfing told me that he thinks this is going to be an extremely difficult senior open because the fairways are narrow and he said the rough looks like it hasn't been cut since winter, you know, since last year. And he said, I know they're going to cut it, you know, before the championship, but he said it is going to be thick and tough. And he thinks the winning score is going to be, he said it's going to look like a U.S. Open. He thinks the winning score is going to be 10, 12 under. I would have guessed maybe 18 to 20 under, but he thinks it's going to be a very, very tough challenge up there.
Well, I can't wait for that. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see how tough University Ridge plays. The one thing I've noticed, Gary, driving around the southern part, at least the southern three quarters of the state, is how dry it is. And I mean, I was in my old hometown of Merrill on the way down here, and my goodness, it looked like mid-July back when we used to live up there, when you know we'd have to water the backyard just to get the grass green. I mean, most of the green grass up there is brown, and I can't wait to see how firm and fast Black Wolf Run is for these kids. It could be a really a long couple of days at the high school championships if they aren't keeping those greens soft, because well, even in the Northwoods, I mean, I was hitting stuff on greens and they were bouncing over, the ball was carrying. It's just I mean, it feels like summer is hitting, it's hit early.
Well, you know, the whole Midwest and even up into the Northeast, Rob, has been extremely dry, because I was in just outside of Philadelphia last week and they were telling me that May was the driest May on record. They had a quarter inch of rain in the entire month of May in the area I was in, just north of Philly. I mean, that's nothing. That's a little spritz, you know, for 20 minutes. So they've had no rain up there, and there has been very little rain around here too. I know my lawn is turning white, which is a sign that, you know, that it really needs some water. So it is really dry. You're right.
Put the hose in Rascal's mouth and have him run out there and water it for you. Come on.
Yeah. Rascal loves it out there. He's running around like a wild man all the time, Rob.
Well, Talking.Golf presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. Of course, the AmFam Championship starts Friday, runs through next Sunday at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison. Don't forget the concert at Bree Stevens Field on Friday night. That'll feature Tyler Hubbard, Maddie and Tay, and Drake White, a bunch of country music performers who are really, really good. And that's the same day that Steve Stricker, the tournament host, former champion Jerry Kelly, and others on the PGA Tour champions will tee it up in the first round of the 7th AmFam Championship. That's right, number 7 already. Tickets for the events are on sale now at amfamchampionship.com. Gary, a few things to get to before we move ahead with other things on our docket. But one of them is a look back at the NCAA championship. It was a tough go of it for Pearson Hunt and the Fighting Illini of Illinois. The good news was they did get the match play. The bad news was they wound up losing in the quarterfinals to Florida State. Florida State loses to Florida. Florida goes on to win the NCAA championship. It's the first time that a Florida Gator has won the individual and team championship since our Wisconsin native Nick Gilliam back in the early 2000s, late 90s, I guess 93 maybe. That was, I guess if I go back, I double check that. But it was, you talk about courses that were firm and fast. Greyhawk, as we talked about last week on the podcast, was a much firmer, faster golf course than I saw a year ago. But I tell you what, Pearson Hunt has a great attitude towards everything. You know, I texted him. I wasn't able to get out to the quarterfinal matches. I was going to be there in the afternoon for the semis. And I said, you know, sorry that things didn't work out. I said, no need to apologize. Florida State was the better team, and he ran into a buzzsaw. The top golfer from the individual competition wound up, I think, going birdie par to finish him off in their match, and it was a 3-2 situation. Florida State winning. You can never be satisfied, but at the same time, you know, if you're Pearson Hunt, you can learn from these experiences, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot to take away from this one.
Yeah, you know, very classy guy, all the talent in the world, and this will be a great experience for him going forward and for the whole University of Illinois team. And by the way, Mike Small, all the coach, is in the AmFam field on an exemption, so it'll be fun to talk to him again. Did you happen to ask Pearson? I don't think he entered U.S. Open local qualifying. Did you happen to ask him why?
I think when I texted him about it, he said that I think he was just focused on trying to get, you know, into a good place with those changes we talked about. They wound up being changes that were related to his routine as far as how he approaches each time hitting the golf ball. And I think I noticed some things related to his swing. And just getting those kind of in line. I think he felt that the idea of bouncing back and forth, given that he had been kind of up and down in his spring season at Illinois, we did talk about how he was actually sat from a tournament midway through the season, Gary, and it was in the middle of a stretch where they didn't have tournaments the week before the tournament he sat in the week after. And that's when he really zeroed in on some of these changes he's trying to make to, as he prepares for his senior year, he'll enter PGA Tour University, which is the point system that allows the number one golfer gets exempt status on the PGA Tour right away out of that group. And the others get exempt status on the Korn Ferry Tour. But he was able to use that time to kind of implement some of the things he's been working on, both with, you know, coaches at Illinois, coaches outside, you know, he does that work with Team Canada, and then, you know, be ready for the end of that season. And you know, he played pretty well. I mean, again, when you golf at the University of Illinois, we talked about this last week, you kind of get graded on a curve, and the curve last week was pretty steep because the four guys around him in the lineup really played exceptional until that that quarterfinal round, and they just ran into Florida State buzzsaw. So I think he was just trying to focus on that. He said no, he wasn't going to enter U.S. Open local this year, and I think he's going to try to go after USAM, Western Am, and he'll be in that. I think the only thing he's going to play in Wisconsin is the USAM qualifier in the later part of July, and I think that's at Hidden Glen, if I'm not mistaken. And that's the only time that we'll see him, and that'll be, I mean, you'll see him because he'll be there for that one. And,
yeah.
And that's, you know, I think kind of where his focus is, trying to, you know, improve his world ranking status, on the amateur level. And then, you know, you got to start scoring points at some of this, you know, that all this, all that stuff feeds into PGA Tour University, which at this point, Gary, I think is probably the, nothing's easy getting to the PGA Tour, but this is a very realistic, opportunity. And I talked to Chris Richards, who was a former PGA Tour senior champions media official, who was at, you know, the AmFam Championship for a number of years. He's now in charge of the arithmetic behind PGA Tour U for the tour. And, you know, he thinks with the live influence and with, you know, just the great young talent that's coming out on the PGA Tour from the college ranks that, you know, those opportunities through PGA Tour U will only continue to be enhanced as they were this year with that exemption right to the PGA Tour and then just a lot of playing opportunities on the developmental tours. So I think he's really zeroing in on that as he goes into his senior year.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that PGA Tour University, it's amazing what that's done for some of the top players in college because, you know, over the last 30, 40 years forever, you know, the best players in college, you know, who whipped on everybody in their college careers and then turned pro and then really had nowhere to play in most cases.
Right.
And had to fight their way onto the tour. So this is a great opportunity for the very, very elite players in college to skip some steps, so to speak, and go right to the big tours.
So we've got NCAA behind us, WIA on the horizon, starts tomorrow, 7 a.m. Division I competition. On the Meadow Valley's course at Black Wolf Run, divisions 2 and 3 will start just after 12 noon. Gary, what do you want to know about the WIA state tournament? I don't want to be a Jeopardy contestant, but I think I can answer just about anything. I've poured over every individual, every team, and all I can say is going into this, Gary, it's one of the most competitive landscapes we've seen. And I did get an email from Madison. Memorial coach Matthew Hartman, one of the assistant pros at Blackhawk Country Club. And it was, for me, it was deja vu. Charlie Erlander, who was one of the hottest golfers through the conference regionals, just had a tough day at sectionals. He doesn't qualify. His team doesn't qualify. It's been the biggest pet peeve of mine for years and years and years. And the reason it was deja vu is because the same thing happened. I believe it was Peter Webb's junior or senior year. Another former Madison Memorial golfer, and the guy, you know, should have been at the state tournament. He was by far one of the best golfers, you know, at every event throughout the regular season and picked a bad day to play poorly. I believe it was up at La Crosse Country Club and didn't qualify for the state tournament. And, you know, it's like any tournament. You want, you know, what would have happened if so-and-so had gotten through the qualifier for the state am at Brown Deer Park, you know? But at this point, you know, there's ways you can do this that haven't been explored. And I think the big story after the tournament, Gary, will be what the tournament looks like if and when it goes back to University Ridge in 2025 when the AmFam Championship moves to EPC Wisconsin. But, you know, we've got a great field. We do have people who should be there that aren't. It's kind of like, you know, the same song and dance every year. But you know, this year, I think that the kids who are here, the teams that are here, all have the potential to go really low. And I can't wait to see what the Meadow Valley's courts allow us to happen in that regard.
Well, Rob, I think the WIAA should use your rankings and give special exemptions to some of the kids who don't make it, who should be there. Why not, right?
And not to open a can of worms here, Gary, but, I mean, you know, when the thing happened with Peter Webb, I mean, I started talking to the coaches. I said, you know, I mean, either you know, I know nobody wants to pull back on anything, but my goodness, you know, you've got three individual qualifiers from every sectional in every division. And if you pulled that back to two and allowed for eight at-large spots in Division One, four in Division Two, and four in Division Three, you are guaranteed not to overlook anybody. I thought the cruelest thing that happened at the sectional, Gary, was defending state champion Kohler has a bad day on a tough golf course at South Hills in Fond du Lac. And not only don't they get a chance to come back to their home course and defend their state title, but then at the end of a long day, two of their guys have to play off for the final spot. And Reese Breitenbach and Everett Schrader, and both of those guys were top 10 finishers at state last year, and they get to fight it out for one spot for the chance to go back. That's why I picked Reese Breitenbach to win the frickin' thing, because if anybody's going to be motivated to win, it's going to be him. Because, you know, I mean, all he's got to play for is himself, and he was, I think he was third last year. And, you know, and then along those lines, the state tennis tournament has at-large qualifiers. Kids who don't, and doubles teams who don't make it through their draw at the sectional, they get put in the bracket. And so there's even a precedent for it. And I've never understood how the coaches and the staff at the WIA haven't been able to get together on that one. And instead, we're going to look at if and when it goes back to University Ridge. You know, I've already, you know, when the whole TPC Wisconsin thing came up, I asked, you know, some people at the U Ridge if they'd welcome the tournament back. And they said, well, you know, they're kind of obligated to, because they're under contract to have the state tournament there until 27. They're giving the WIA a chance to go elsewhere to keep the same dates. But if the same dates are open at U Ridge and they go back there, I know that U Ridge doesn't exactly want the numbers of kids that they've had in the past, because if weather is a factor, then everybody's angry at U Ridge because Wednesday's never available. Usually it's the Meritor Pro-Am or some other event that they've got going, and they can't, you know, they just can't give that third day. And so I think there's a lot of things they could do to kind of, you know, deal with that. But, you know, for the situation that we're talking about, I think at-large qualifiers would be a great idea. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, Rob, I couldn't agree more with you. I think you make some excellent points. And I guess, you know, to take the opposite viewpoint, golf is the ultimate meritocracy. You get what you earn. And at every level, you know, from the U.S. Open on down, there's always guys who you think should be there. And for what reason or another, play well at the right time and didn't make it. There's guys on mini tours, Rob, who had they played well at the right time, probably would be making money on the PGA Tour. But I agree with you. That's the other argument, but I agree with your argument. I think there should be some at-large, because we're talking about 16 and 17-year-old kids here.
Yeah. But I think for the next couple of days, the focus will certainly be on the competition. We've got some, you know, Oakland Memorial comes back with a loaded team, and Parker Etzel is going to the University of South Dakota, is not the defending state champion. Will Schlitz, his teammate, is. The two of them, you know, provide a great foundation for a very experienced team to come back and successfully defend. But then Mason Schmidtke and his crew over at Sheboygan North have been playing really well. And the Miller kids, I believe their dad's the pro at Sheboygan. Oh, boy. Is it Riverside or Riverview?
Riverdale.
Or is it Town and Country? I think Guy Miller at Town and Country. And Ryder and Hogan, and those are two of the greatest golf names I've ever. I wish I would have had more pull of my wife, because Ryder and Hogan would have been great names for my kids, even though none of them wanted to play the golf. But his did, and they're doing quite well. In fact, Ryder, the sophomore, if I remember correctly, won the sectional. Mason Schmidtke got off to a horrific start. I believe it was four over after five holes. And then got back to one under, and then doubled the last hole to shoot 73 and finished second. But They've got the firepower. Milwaukee Marquette, you know, you wrote a story about drive, chip, and putt. And one of their kids is a sophomore or freshman on the team, and he's their sixth man that got to the national finals.
Oh.
And they lost three kids from last year, but they filled in. I think Milwaukee Marquette, if they can be, is a sleeper in this situation. And, you know, 1 and 2 have been Eau Claire Memorial, Sheboygan North, and then number 3, Middleton, also didn't make it out of that Wanakee sectional. So I think Marquette kind of slides in as that next best team. But Kettle Moraine has Spencer Stuckey and Alex Koenig. Division 2, you've got Edgewood going for an unprecedented 6 straight titles with Alex Weiss, who, you know, really labored to try to get college coaches to, you know, notice him. He's kind of an undersized kid, been that way all his career, and I don't think got, you know, quite the love that he probably deserved for the quality of golf that he played. But he's now going to go to Notre Dame and with a direct admission to their business school. And with that behind him, that decision, he has played some of the best golf of his high school career. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Edgewood can do. And in Division III, even though Kohler not there, Cambridge has been really, really exceptional. And they could get a chase from Mineral Point, which has played really well late in the season. And they're coming off 3 straight third-place finishes at the state tournament. So there's that to look forward to. You know, it's the 2 fastest days of golf in my year, Gary. And before you know it, we're going to be, you know, into the summer. And it's almost like a graduation ceremony of sorts for the junior golfers.
Well, Rob, all I know is the 1 year I had to cover it because you couldn't a couple of years ago. My head was spinning all day trying to follow everything going on. So you're a better man for this than I am, Rob. And I know that there's tons of parents and kids across our state who are going to be reading your coverage on Wisconsin.golf and Jim Kelce's excellent photography.
Well, and let's let our listeners know that you're not going to be just sitting back and keep putting your feet up. And you've drawn the tough assignment on Monday, haven't you?
Yeah, I have to follow John Daly and Paige Spirit. Neck around the Geneva National for the Beauty and the Beast exhibition. I have no idea what this is going to entail, Rob. I know it raises money for charity. I'm sure it's a kind of hit and giggle event, but hopefully I'll get some time afterward to talk to Daly, who has battled some injuries and has been withdrawing from tournaments left and right. I think he's in the field for the AmFam, correct?
He is, yeah.
So we'll see. And then Paige Spiranak, who has 11 million followers combined on her social media platforms, she's coming back in a couple of weeks to do something with the Brewers. She's going to make a couple of appearances at Brewers games and at that ex-golf facility at AmFam Field. So it's going to be fun. And then, of course, we're paying attention to the 8 people with state ties that we have in U.S. Open final qualifying on Monday. And we're hopeful that 1 or 2 of those guys are going to get through and get to tee up in the U.S. Open.
6 of them, I believe, by my count, at Springfield, Ohio, including Jack Anderson, who was the unlikely survivor of the local qualifier here, a kid who doesn't play at the University of Wisconsin, goes there, I think at one point played on the club team, but he plays most of his golf, you know, in the summer. And I see he's going to be paired with Davis Love III. Welcome to the U.S. Open Final qualifying, right?
I just saw that Davis Love withdrew, Rob, so I must have some kind of injury or something. But that would have been a fun pairing, yeah, for Jack, who, by the way, just finished runner-up in the Milwaukee District Golf Association Match Play Championship this weekend. And Jack qualified in stroke play with a 64, so he's playing some exceptional golf. And it would be fun to see him put up some numbers tomorrow.
It would. And speaking of tournaments, Jared McGloin and Joe Duchateau. Now out of Lebanon, Indiana, I want to say maybe a former teammate of Joe's in college, but don't quote me on that. As we record this late, and I mean late on a Sunday, it's almost 7 o'clock, folks. Joe and Joe are currently 3 up on the Mequon Homestead Alumni Dream Team of Charlie Malecki and Robbie Morway at the Bog in the finals of the WSGA 4-Ball Championship. And, no, it's Jared and Joe. Jared and Joe are up 3 up, and that hasn't moved very quickly on this live leaderboard. And I'm guessing they'll get done before dark. And knock on wood, no rain has fallen, at least here in Sheboygan. And so the WSGA, the first, I guess, of their championship events is almost in the books, Gary. That means more are on the way with the women's match play championship this week. We wish we could, you know, preview all of this, but we haven't even had a chance to look ahead because we've been so consumed with other things, including the state high school championship.
Well, we certainly have a busy few weeks, couple months actually coming up, Robin. It's going to be fun sharing some media centers and some media tents with you over the next few weeks. Looking forward to your stuff at the State Open, and I'll see you, I guess, on Friday at University Ridge.
Absolutely. Before we go, one last question. Who was on the bag for Steve today?
Nikki. Nikki was on the bag.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was a question about whether that was going to be a one and done for Izzy or if they would rotate that. I know who wasn't on the bag, and that's Bobby. She made the cut for the second time in three starts on the Epson Tour. She shoots 69, 72, 76, pockets $786. It doesn't seem like a lot, Gary, but every dollar on that tour is a big deal in the reshuffle and that's getting her into events. I don't expect we'll see her at University Ridge if there's an event this week. Tess Hackworthy, 73, 71. She misses the cut by, I believe, two shots. And Emily Lauterbach out of Heartland, who turned pro last week, opened with a 78, came back with a 71, and she also missed the cut at five over par. So we've got between U.S. Open qualifiers, golfers trying to make it in the Korn Ferry Tour and Canadian Tour Mondays. I'm sure once we're done with this podcast, I'm going to go look at PGA Tour Latino America. I'm sure our guys who are down there, Sam Anderson and Griffin Barella and Kaylor Steger, were in action. It's just everybody's playing golf, Gary. It's a good thing. It's good for business. That's all I got to say. It's good for business.
It certainly is, Rob. And you and I have to get out at least once in the next few weeks and dust off the clubs and play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll figure that out at the AmFam. And until then, and then I think what we'll do, Gary, is a bunch of short pops out of the AmFam starting maybe Thursday night with a short look at the tournament. I'll have to pick your brain since I won't be there yet, but we'll do that. And then Friday, Saturday, and then I'll record something on Sunday. We'll have short recaps on each day and what to look for going forward, at least on Friday and Saturday ahead of the final round. So we'll do that. That'll be our Talking.Golf next week. But that's all for Talking.Golf this week, Gary. Go get some rest.
All right, you too, Rob. Rest up.
All right, Talking.Golf presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship will be held June 9th through the 11th. That's Friday through Sunday at University Ridge Golf Course in Madison, Wisconsin. Tyler Hubbard, Maddie and Tay, and Drake White will highlight activities away from the golf course with a concert at Bree Stevens Field on Friday night, June the 9th. That same day, PGA Tour Champions Golfer Tournament host Steve Stricker and the top golfers on the PGA Tour Champions will tee it up in the opening round of the 7th AmFam Championship. Tickets for the event are on sale now at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for charity with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Foundation. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.